Lord, we love you, God, and we're here for you tonight. And Lord, I just pray you take all the distractions away out of our minds, and you wouldn't let us be a distraction to the people around us. And God, that we would just be here to hear from you in your word tonight. God, make that the most important thing. Let us only be concerned with that. We love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right. So Matthew, you guys have Bibles? I'm looking for some. I see quite a few. Good job on the Bibles. We're actually in the same exact passages last week. Matthew 9:9-13. We're going to look over the same exact verses that we looked at, but we're going to tear them apart a little bit more. So Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13. Now, when we talked last week about Matthew, we talked about how he was a tax collector and how his name used to be Levi because he was raised as a Jew, and he learned all about the Jewish law and Jewish education and all this stuff. But then when he got older, instead of following good Jewish tradition, he decided he was going to go be a tax collector. And a tax collector was a traitor to his people, remember? He'd go tax his own people and give that money to the government that came and overtook them. And so his people looked at him and like, you're a traitor, you're no good. And he was a liar. And he charged people too much money for their taxes and they keep it in his own pocket. And he did all sorts of stuff. And so this guy who hung out with people who were all concerned with power and being drunk and partying all the time, and he just wasn't a very likely candidate to be an apostle or a follower of Jesus Christ. But then he's sitting there at his booth, right? And all of a sudden Jesus walks by and he sees this guy. And when he's in the middle of cheating somebody out of their money, working right there, Jesus walks by and sees him and goes, look, I want you, I choose you. And so last week we looked at how he was such an unlikely candidate. It just doesn't make sense. What are the chances that Jesus would choose that guy? And then we talked about how sometimes we're that guy. And we think that we're not worthy. Jesus, why would you call me? Why would you choose me? I'm not ready for you because I'm too interested in this and this and this and her and him and blah, 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 blah. And the list goes on of all the things. Why would you choose me, Jesus? And we talked about how, well, if he could choose Matthew, man, none of us fit that list because he could choose any one of us in this room. No matter what we are doing right now, that's when he chooses us. In the middle of our sin, he chooses us. So you don't have to fit some perfect bill to be like, I'm awesome already. You need me, Jesus. Because that's impossible. But he wants you just the way you are. And you're that special to him. And so we looked at that, and now we're going to look at the same verses, but we're gonna look a little bit more at the call, the way Jesus called Matthew. And so let's read real quick, 9 to 13. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so as we look at this, the first thing we need to see is that Matthew was basically a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Okay? He did everything possibly wrong you could do wrong. He was the most unlikely person for Jesus to call out. But his response to Jesus was undeniably sincere and genuine. He really meant it. And so we're going to look through this passage and see how it shows us that his call was sincere. I mean, this guy was not messing around at all in any way. And so, verse 9, let's look at the call. It says, Jesus is going on from there. He saw a man named Matthew. He's sitting at his tax collector's booth. He's swindling people out of their money. He's pocketing all this cash. He's like, sweet, I'm getting rich. And then Jesus walks along and he sees him there. And let's pretend you're Matthew and you're ripping her off right now, taking all her cash. And I'm walking up and I'm like, follow me. And I just walk off. The dude gets up and he just walks after him. It was that easy. Okay, now he gets it. Thank you for following, because we're like, yeah, we're in touch right now. Isn't that a little crazy to you? If you, let's say you started your own business, okay, and you're looking for someone to be a great employee. You need someone who's really honest. They're going to deal with all your money. And so you walk into, I don't know, let's say you walk into Walmart, and there's somebody in Walmart, and right now, they're like, you catch them in the aisle, and they're putting somebody in their something in their pocket, and they're like, shoplifting right there, right? And there's like, some stuff over here, and some stuff here, and you're like, dude, they're ripping off Walmart right now. And so you walk up, and you're like, hey, follow me. Like, would you choose that person? We'd be like, sweet, I want you to handle my finances and all my cash. Will you, like, hold my credit cards for me? Like, who would do that? Have you ever seen the credit card commercials where, like, it's like identity theft happens, and so it's like this old, old hairy dude, and he's driving this car down the road, and all of a sudden when he talks, it's like a girl's voice, and it's like, I'm 16 years old, whatever, and, like, because he ripped off her car, like, he stole her car and her identity, and, like, anyway, that's what I picture here. Like, this is the worst dude you can imagine, and Jesus calls him. But the craziest thing is that no questions asked, he just gets up and he walks and he follows Jesus. It's the shortest, simplest request that Jesus makes to him. Like, he was still sitting at his job making so much money right there. I mean, he's in the middle of work, and Jesus didn't call him to the side and be like, hey, come here for a second, you know, and quietly, I got a business proposition for you. And he starts to talk to him over on the side. No. The dude's still sitting there. He's still working with his client. And Jesus is just like, hey, follow me. Exactly. No, you don't have to. You get down, man. Your thighs are getting sore standing up and down all the time. And he follows him. Like, that easy. Two words. Follow me. And he gets up and he walks after him. No explanation. It's so short and sweet. And yet the guy didn't need any more than that. Oh, there's Jesus. He might have even recognized him. Like, that's Jesus of Nazareth. Whoa. Hey, follow me. Okay. Like, it doesn't register still in my head how easy that was for him. The thing about Jesus saying, follow me, is that it was so clear. You know, there were no strings attached to this. Jesus didn't try to offer him, like, some offer was like, look, if you follow me, then this will happen and this will happen and this is why it's better for you. He didn't try to explain it. He didn't try to give him reasons or be like, I think you should do this because, ooh, that one floated. Just a little bubble. Anyway. Yeah. At least it wasn't spit this time. It was kind of floated, so it saved you. It floated down. It's down there. So he's like, hey, I'm not going to try to explain why you should do this or why it's so important or why it's a benefit for you. I'm just saying, do it. Your choice. Here you go. Ball's in your court. I'm walking away. You can either do it or not. That was it. No fancy words. It wasn't like some big football player who, like, the recruiter comes along and shows up at your living room and he's trying to convince you why you should play for the Dolphins instead of the Patriots and we're going to sign you and all this stuff. And no, it was just simply, hey, follow me. That's it. It seems so, I don't know, like, not enough for this guy. I was at, how many of you guys went to Fright Night? Anyone go?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
We're going to do it again next year. Well, Friday night was pretty scary. I have to admit, I was a tour guide and went through like 100 times, and I was still scared going through this thing. I brought this group of like, there were these four sisters, four girls, and then my parents actually showed up, so they were in the group, and so I was like, I have to leave this group because my parents are here. So it was these four girls and my parents, and they're all walking through, and the second we get into the front room, actually there were five girls to begin with, one of the girls was like, yeah, I can't handle this. So she like pushes everybody out of the way, runs out the front door. She wouldn't even stay. It was like right after the first room. And she was already too scared. They were like in junior high or high school. So she takes off, okay? Well then, the other girls are like, wow, we're scared now because she's so freaked out. This must be like pretty bad. So they're like shaking and my mom looks over and is like, here, you can hold my hand, my walk arms with me to this one girl. So she's like, clings to my mom. And then the other ones like grab my dad and they're like, and they're like, no, we don't want to go in. No, don't make us, you know? And so I was like, come on. So then we go in and we start walking through this and we get into the part where like it's like the dormitory thing and then like someone jumped out from behind a door. And so they're all clinging to my parents. But when they jumped out from behind the door, the girls jump back, still holding my parents, hit the bed. All four of them flip over the bed. The bed flips like this. My parents are rolling on the ground. I mean, they're like in their 60s. They're rolling on the floor like, what's going on? There's girls running and screaming and bouncing off walls. I'm like, what just happened? Wait, that was just the beginning of this tour, okay? So they get up and we walk through. And then we get out to like the cemetery, you know, where the craziness happens. And so we start getting chased by some chainsaws out there. And they took off running smack dab into the door. Bam! One of the girls' shoes, she hit it so hard, her shoes, her sandals came off. Got buried in the sand. She couldn't find her sandals, right? So we get back and we're running down that back crazy dark hallway. And As a tour guide, I'd be like, I'm going to lead them back there to find their way down the hallway. So I'd sprint off in the dark way down to the end and just wait for them. Well, they got so freaked out. I mean, these girls could run. They took off sprinting down the hallway. And I just see them coming. I mean, they were coming fast. And there's four, okay? My parents are left way in the back. They came at me. They nail me like a foot, straight up football tackle. And there's a fake wall behind me, okay? They hit me. We all go through the wall. This wall explodes. It's just like, and these girls are rolling around like, ah! It was crazy. No, it really happened. Yeah, the wall broke. We had to fix it. I mean, they were scared. It was a pretty sweet group, but it hurt. They were painful. But there was something really cool about that I noticed at the beginning. When we're standing there in that first room, my mom looked over to that little girl, and she's just like, you can go with me. That girl was just like, okay, like no questions asked, grabs onto my mom's arm and didn't let go. My mom didn't have to be like, well, you should probably go with me because this and this and it'd probably be better for you. She didn't have to explain. She was just like, you should probably go with me. Okay. And when I picture that, that's exactly how I picture Matthew's response here. It was a very simple thing that my mom had to say to that girl, and boom, she was like, all right, I'm following you. I'm following you through this entire house. And when I picture Matthew and Jesus here, it was like Matthew seriously did not need any further explanation. It was just, I'm going. That's it. I'm going with you, Jesus. And so he noticed something pretty awesome. He had to have. Or why else would he be so adamant about following Christ and so willing unless he knew there was something special about that? And so let's read verses 9 and 10 and see what this verse tells us here. We're backtracking a little. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Okay? Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Now see this. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Now here's the thing. We said Matthew's a tax collector. He makes all this money. Right? Ripping people off. But by being a tax collector and having all that money, guess what it got him? A, success, right? Because he's getting all this cash. He's getting an awesome life, like sweet house and all this stuff. But look at all the people that came to eat at his house. All of these people, these powerful, awesome, popular, amazing people that everybody wanted to know. Everybody would say hi to them in the street just so that they know your face and your name. These people that everybody wanted to know. Guess where they eat? Matthew's house. All these other powerful people show up here. Did they offer a better offer than Jesus? Well, in the world's eyes, yeah. Because, I mean, these are the people to know. And it seems kind of far-fetched right now, but think about your friends and what they can influence you to do that you know Christ wouldn't want you doing. How easy is it for your friends to offer you something? And you're like, sweet, because they're my friends, I want to impress them. Sweet, they can offer me some awesome stuff. And I got to impress my friends. I got to be the loudest. I got to make everybody laugh. I got to be popular. I got to be on the stage. And the list goes on. Because we want to impress everybody else so much. And what they can offer us just seems so much better than Christ. Now, when I look at this, we know that Matthew was serious because having all of that I just mentioned, he still chose Jesus. And Jesus' offer wasn't, hey, you're going to be popular. People are going to love you. No, actually, Jesus said later on, they're going to hate you. They're going to try to kill you. If they hated me and want to kill me and beat me, guess what? If you follow me, they're going to want to do the same to you. There was no big offer of like, oh, you're going to have an amazing life and you're going to have all these riches and all this money and all this stuff. He's saying, follow me and your life is going to be pretty tough. And people aren't going to be loving you and following you and praising you and showing up at your parties anymore. And yet Matthew was like, you know what? I still choose you, Jesus. All you have to do is tell me to follow you and I'm getting up and going. I'll leave all this other stuff behind. Man, that tells me how serious Matthew was about his call. You know, the publicans, man, they had all sorts of money. Publican tax collector, okay? But Matthew, where he was located as a tax collector, he had this like ingenious location. Okay? Let me say some things to you here. He was located on the great road that ran through Capernaum. So it was like the main highway. If you're going to open a Chick-fil-A, do you think you're going to make more money putting it by 95 or, I don't know, back in like down tropical somewhere on some random side road.
Definitely.
I'm at 95, right? Well, this is like Matthew's location, right there, where everybody goes by. And when they go by, guess what they have to do?
Pay taxes.
So he has this ingenious location. All these people go by. He gets all these taxes. And then there are tons of travelers on this road because it's such a main road. He gets taxes from that. There was a military base that was located right there too. So Matthew, all he had to do, if you say, hey, I'm not paying my taxes, guess what? It was easy for him to be like, hey, Mr. Soldier, beat him down. You know, it's like right there. Whole base. He's like, so if someone didn't want to pay, he could just call him right over. Perfect location. From this location, he could see the fishing boats as they were bringing in their daily catches. Right there. And guess what? Every fish they caught? Tax, tax. So every time you pull up your fishing load, Matthew would be right there. Oh, I consider coming in. That's going to be 7,000 denarii or whatever it was. He's like, sorry. And you get to pay. And he's right there. He also worked in areas where there were a lot of Jews, remember? His own people, right? And so this dude is like the best place, the best location to make a ton of money. Like he's got to be super, super wealthy. And knowing all that, and he's sitting right there in his amazing location that he's probably claimed for himself. No one else could take this. And Jesus walks right by him as he's making his money and says, follow me. And the dude just gets up and leaves it all behind. That easy. Whew. He's serious about this. He's super serious. Let me show you a video real quick about what the world thinks about. Well, you'll see. Go ahead. You can play. All right, well, they're trying to do that. Let me explain what you're about to watch, okay? I think about how Jesus walks up to Matthew, right? We're talking about his offer, his job offer, kind of, because he's saying, hey, come work with me. Come follow me. Be my disciple. And his work was to spread the gospel, right? And to tell everybody about God. But Jesus didn't give a very, from the world's eyes, a very good description of how to get someone to work for you. So, let's look at this real quick.
Hey there, release of steam now and then. You will need job applicants, an interview area with no privacy, and a total disregard for the interviewee's feelings. Step 1, keep the applicant waiting in the reception area for no good reason so he'll have added time to get nervous. Step 2, when you finally fetch him, come across as someone who hates his own job. Break the ice with, now, who are you again? If you notice signs of nervousness, the applicant is sweating profusely, turning beet red or stammering, be sure to point this out. Step 3, begin by saying, let me tell you a little bit about myself, and launch into a monologue. Ask whether he thinks you look better as a redhead. Whatever he says, let your tone suggest he gave the wrong answer. Step 4, repeatedly go off topic, lose your place, and do everything to convince the candidate that you are in desperate need of medication. Just to keep things interesting, repeatedly call him by the wrong name. If corrected, glare at him and say, isn't that what I just called you? Step 5, feel free to take personal phone calls. By pantomime, let the candidate know that the person on the other end is crazy. Then spend 5 minutes cooing, no, I love you more, in a baby voice. Step 6, at this point, confess that there is no job per se, but you wanted to test the waters, as it were, by seeing how the response would be. Having said that, if there were a job, would he occasionally run personal errands for you? Step 7, let him find his own way out of the office, even if said office is such a maze that he'll no doubt get hopelessly lost. If you run into him later, shout and threaten to call security. Did you know, according to one survey, 85% of people believe body piercings and tattoos impede a candidate's chance of getting the job?
Sorry. You're probably like, why would you show me this? I just wanted to point out how, like, our world today, and when you guys start, oh, pretty soon too, looking for jobs and working in places, even if it's like Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or somewhere, they're going to have a job interview process. They're going to have a way that they're going to get you to want to work for them. And the world has come up with all these things that are things you do and things you don't do when you try to entice someone to work for you and make it seem really interesting and have this great benefits package with insurance and all these things that are going to make it sound sweet. I have to have this job because it's going to be amazing and I'll make so much money and blah, 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 all this stuff. And Jesus was not concerned one tiny bit with any of that stuff. He walked up to Matthew and he simply said 2 words. And so he didn't say, hey, Matthew, come work for me. And Matthew's like, sweet, because he offered me all this awesome stuff. That's why I'm working for you. No, he didn't offer him anything. He just said, follow me. Period. And Matthew's like, okay, I'll go. That says a lot, because he was willing to leave everything behind and just walk after Jesus. Let's look at the next two verses here. We're not there yet. We're going to go verse 9 one more time. There's one more thing I want to point out in this. I'm going to read it one more time to you too, because I think it's important enough to do that. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And look at this next part. Matthew got up and followed him. Do you see anything when you look at that verse in between the follow me, he told him, and then the Matthew got up and followed him? Okay. Do you see anything happening in between there? Does it tell us that he had to go run to the bathroom real quick, or that he had to go talk to people and discuss it, or go research on the internet, or whatever they did back then? Like, did he do anything in between there? No. Does it say he waited a while, and then he finally later on went? He just got up and followed him. So it's an immediate response. It wasn't something where Matthew had to sit there and hesitate and think, I don't know, like, maybe. Because think about yourself, okay? If you have all this stuff, you own a Ferrari and a Lamborghini and like 3 sports bikes and like a big huge mansion and a yacht and some wave runners and like a mud buggy and some 4Runners. You own everything there is to own. You have girls, you have like this walk-in closet the size of this room that rotates your clothes around on like a button or a remote control. Voice control, even better. Voice control. It's connected to your brain, okay? You think it, and here comes your clothes, and your little shoes go by, and it plays music, you know? There's the red pumps. Oh, they're so nice. You know, like, whatever you do. So you have all this amazing stuff, and Jesus comes along, and he's like, hey, guess what? Give up everything and just follow me. And you're going to be like, hey, wait a minute. Are you going to sit there and think about having to give up all that stuff?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be like, ooh, I don't know. You'd have to like run it through your brain a second. Like even if you're going to follow him, I think you'd be like, oh, that's a lot. Matthew didn't even do that. Matthew just heard, follow me, and it says he got up and he went. Zero hesitation, zero waiting, zero thinking, nothing. The dude got up and he followed after Jesus at his very word. That was it. No hesitation. And I think I would hesitate. I think I'd think, oh, I have to leave my family. I have to leave the people I love. I have to leave my friends. I have to leave. And there'd be this list. And I'd be thinking down the list, like, am I willing to do this? Am I willing? Matthew didn't even think. Matthew just said, I want you more than anything in the whole world. I'm following you, period. I'm getting up and I'm going now. No thinking, no hesitating. You're it, Jesus. I'm going to show you this next. I have one more clip that I have to show you. Can we get it, Matt? And I think, you guys will know what it is when you see it, but it's easy to hesitate when you're faced with a difficult question.
Switching to Geico really saved you 15% or more on car insurance. Was Abe Lincoln honest?
This is just make my man kind of mistake.
And there's a hesitation.
Oh.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Faced with a difficult question, a difficult decision, and we hesitate. I think it's human nature for us to hesitate. I think that when we're faced with something tough, a tough decision, listen to me, we're almost finished. When we're faced with a tough decision, the first thing we do is, I gotta stop and think. And we try to grab onto all the stuff that's so important to us and make excuses why we can't make that decision. It's hard to give stuff up. It's hard to make a tough choice. But Matthew teaches us in his response to Christ that it's important to be immediate about it. But Jesus says it, man, trust him enough just to do it. And then look at verses 12 and 13, and we'll end with these. It says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. And then he tells us the phrase he wants us to learn. He says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You know that Jesus was, he came to earth not to judge you. He will one day. He'll come back and he'll judge you. But he didn't come this time to judge. When he came down to die on a cross, he came down to seek you because you were lost, to heal you because you were broken, to die for you because you weren't worthy enough to die for yourself and pay for your sin. He came for that. His sole purpose was to overlook all the sin that you had done and take it on himself. He will come back one day, don't be mistaken. And when he does, judgment comes with him. He'll have a flaming sword in his hand. It's not going to be pretty. But this time he came, and you're living right now in grace and mercy, and he's seeking you where you are right now. No matter how broken you are, no matter how unlikely or sinful you think you are, Christ is strong enough to love you and to forgive you and to pay for all of that, because he came to help those who are sick. He didn't come to look for righteous people who are living perfect lives. He came for sinners like you, like me, like every single one of us on this planet. He came for us. And so the next time you look at the person that you disagree with and you try to judge them, remember that Jesus came for them, no matter what decisions they're making. And when you look at yourself and you're like, I'm too far away from you, Christ, you can never use me. Remember, he came to look for you, sinner. He came to look for you, broken person. That's why he came. If we were all healthy, he would never have had to come. If we were all perfect, we wouldn't need him. He came for us. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you tonight, recognizing your sacrifice you made. Loving me even though I'm so unworthy, God. Even though I sin at every step, God, every turn I make, there's mess-ups after mess-ups. And Jesus, you still love me and you still forgive me. God, you look at us with eyes of mercy and you die for us, broken us. Thank you, Lord. I pray for each person in this room. Help us to realize that, God. Make it real to our hearts. Don't let us listen to your truth and just let it shoot through our ears, but God, help us to internalize it. Help it to strike a chord in our hearts how much you love us. Teach us to love you back. Teach us to respond to your call immediately with no strings attached, just like Matthew did. We love you, God, in your name. Amen.